We are live. Welcome, welcome back to the Bad Potter Podcast, episode 5. It's been a while, obviously. My man to the left's been busy down in Newcastle. What's happening, Chris?
How long has it been?
Oh, it's been a good about 4 or 5 weeks or something like that. It's been a while anyway.
Oh, since my fight.
Oh, since your fight. Oh, Christ, actually. Well, we've had Dublin since. We've had the two American shows, so...
Two weeks now.
It was longer than that. What was it?
Two weeks, I think.
Is that all it is? Feels like ages ago.
Madness.
I don't know if it's just... 2 weeks, oh well. So, I think that's probably a good place to jump in and start. Let's talk a wee bit about Newcastle and just everything lead up to the fight and then ultimately what happened. So, you went down there, obviously, and against a tough opponent, Terry Brazier, and got it done in a couple of minutes. It was...
It was very satisfying. Obviously, building up to the fight, I think I told everybody I didn't expect... Didn't expect it to go 2 minutes and 6 seconds. I thought it's got to be 3 hard rounds, but that's the game we're in. MMA, it can finish in the first setting, it can finish in the 4 minutes 59 seconds. So, it was just, what an atmosphere. As you could tell, probably, full arena erupted. It was madness, absolute madness.
Aye, it definitely did, because we had obviously, you were... second out in the main card, so we had the Chadwick Edwards fight in the first card. And I don't know, I didn't feel like the atmosphere in there was hitting off a chain. I think because the prelims that people didn't see some of the finishes and some of the KOs. And then obviously the main card, I think folk thought that was going to be a crazy fight at the start, but it didn't go the way I thought it was going to go.
Apart from the main event, I think everybody was most looking forward to my fight. Probably, like, evenly matched and more attention on it, apart from the main event. So I think we were the real main event, and I think it had the best atmosphere. I honestly did. I came out after my fight for the Chalmers and Browning fight, and it stunk. Like, the arena was booing, it was so low, and I was just like, what the fuck? I just left this place, a fucking jumping crazy atmosphere, and like walk out to this shit. So I think I was the real main event and the real... the best fight on the card, on the show.
Let's talk a wee bit about the coming out, because I'm assuming you were expecting to come out. You obviously had a lot of folk down me for Holytown or waiting out townies.
I told you, mine's are always the loudest in the room. There could be 5 of them or there could be 5,000, but no, I didn't think I was going to get booed. I didn't. Because I know like they were everywhere, so I knew I would hear cheers, but I didn't expect that. I think the Newcastle... fans came, I prefer us Scottish to like the lower London, lower England, you know what I mean? So, it was nuts, but I didn't expect him to get all the boos. That was, you can actually see it in the footage, like when they're booing him, me just looking at my coach Brian, like, what the fuck's going on here? So, fuck him anyway, he's a bitch. He deserved to be booed.
And you'd obviously a couple of post fights today, so we'll talk about the first one, paying homage to Mr. Austin.
I've always thought of that, like, if I ever made it to the big show, and if I were ever on TV, and I had a good Bungard crowd, and I finished well, I always thought, if I knocked somebody out quick, and I was on TV, or finished them quick, I would walk right out of the cage, just right up the ramp, BJ Penn style, Haim. But then I'm like, no, because then my corners, they're all got to be still there. They still maybe want to announce the winner. I was like, that could be awkward in my team. But I was like, always thought if I was in Scotland or Glasgow, I would just ask them if I knock somebody out, submit to them, whatever, quick. I'd ask a crowd if you loved that, if you fucking loved that, give me a hell yeah. And they would just have to say it back. But that's a dodgy one, because if they don't say it back, you're standing there like an idiot. But I got the pop back, it was like, hell yeah, and I just like, that's it. Unlucky, Hingley Thompson was ready to ask me something else, and I just walked, and the other cage door, and the guy's like, no, you need to go that way, and I was just like, come on, man, let me have my fucking moment here. And I had to walk back through the other door, and Thompson's like, he thought I was coming back to interview him, and I was like, no, like, he's like, you had your chance or whatever. I was like, I'm going back out, me. I'm not coming to talk to you. You know what I mean? My spot was done. But I've been sent like videos of people in the crowd recording that, like saying the hell yeah bit, and then you hear all the crowd saying it. I was like, that's what I was wanting, that pop. So cheers for that one, Austin.
Well, I can definitely confirm the pop was there. Obviously, I was lucky enough to be sitting cage side.
I think everybody did like it. Maybe I went a bit over the top with the celebrations and that, but I'll tell you this now, like before I went out, I was just remember thinking about all the guys that Terry's beat, in my stomach. It was Reese McKee, Walter Gaza, Alex Ahoa, and I'm just like, these are all fucking great fighters. And I'm just, you know, I was fine the full fight camp, I was fine the day before, I was fine the way in, I was fine all the way up to that moment. I was ready to fucking walk out. I had doubt came into my stomach, like, oh, these beat all these good guys. This guy's got to be good. I was like, can you beat him? Do you deserve to be here? I'm like, fuck, why is this doubt just creeped in just before I make the walk? I've got the flag and all that. Ready to do the William Wallace shit. And I'm just like, why is this doubt just creeped in? So I'm trying to fucking just push that doubt to the side. Doubt kills, man. Don't ever let it in, but it creeped in. And just before I made the walk. So I think when I won, and that's why I went so ballistic, so mental, was because I doubted myself a wee bit just at that last second. I was almost at the last hurdle. But you never know, that wee bit of doubt maybe have made me win that fight. All through the week at the weigh-ins and all through the day, fight day, I was total zen. I was calm. It didn't even come into my head. Usually I'm thinking about the fight all day, but I was just chilled, man. Just sat there and drank water and ate all day. And I didn't think about the fight until I started warming up. It was so bizarre, but I think that's why I went mental. I had a wee bit of doubt in me, and it creeped in, and I'm fucking raging it did. But that's how I went mental, jumping the cage. I was looking for Scotty T.
He was sitting just in front.
I was looking for that punk Scotty T, and it's probably a good thing that I didn't see him. I'll see him after it in Iran, but we won't talk about that. But it's probably a good thing I didn't see him when I jumped out of the cage, because I could have probably lost my job. And I was just, I don't know, it was madness. That full couple of minutes was just indescribable.
Well, you said it in the, obviously when we done the post fight with you, when you done the scrum, you said it was
sometimes
the best moment.
Shouldn't have put a mic in front of me after a fight, man.
We could dissect your post fight. So I think I started off the post fight scrum with you, and then I think you basically told me to be quiet while you took over. so that was nice. No, to be honest with you, nice. I honestly think you couldn't have done it any better than that. I think it was because folk were here for you at that time, and the post fight was really good as well, because you came out with some good interesting shit in the post fight.
Straight after cuff, man. I need to start writing all these down because I forget to say them again.
I think my favourite was getting beat up some Roid boys in America. I quite liked that one.
Aye. It's weird watching, like, when I was through the back warming up, and we've got a big telly watching all the fights, and it's just showing you all these Bellator fights, and it's just like ridiculous the amount of guys on fucking steroids, man. It's like, do I want to fight that guy? Do I want to fight that guy? It's just like, it's just the way it is out there, innit? You can tell, you can actually tell by looking at them. I think your man Pitbull, I know he fought Scope in the main event, man, but that guy is juiced to the gills, man. Even at the weigh-in, you could tell. I think he would fucking burn the fucking lab down if he pissed in it. And I thought that Scope won as well. I was ecstatic for my win, but I was kind of watching the telly a wee bit, and then we were out in the arena, but I thought Scope won 2-1, but I don't know, I maybe need to go watch it back.
See, I've went kind of, but I was sitting, obviously, I was talking to one of the other media guys that were doing, and initially I thought, watching the fight, I thought Pitbull had won 2-1, but since watching it back, I've kind of swayed on that as well, and I'm like, you know what, I think, there was no doubt about the first and the third round, it was that second round. I think sometimes when you're watching the fight live, and there's loads of stuff going on about you as well, you can kind of get distracted a bit. So it's always worth coming back. But what an opportunity that was for Scope, and it done him no harm, that fight. I mean, yeah. That's a guy that's what I think Pitbull's going to be fighting for the title, probably next.
You know what I liked when they were showing you the highlight reel with Pitbull, and that was Josh Thompson just talking through it, and just seeing Josh Thompson getting knocked out, and they keep showing it over and over. It's just like, this guy's sitting commentating this, and it's just show something else, you know what I mean? He's getting TKO'd.
Did you see him address it on live TV? He's like, yeah, so as you can see, I've experienced that before.
Power,
but the main event was good. I think it's good with Bellator or Den as well, because if you look at, they've gave Scope a massive opportunity, and they've gave Tim Wilde a massive opportunity as well.
Yeah, man,
Brent Primus, yeah, just coming off, he lost his title obviously, yeah, to Chandler. So they're giving the European guys big opportunities.
Aye, so long may it continue. Get me out of America, Scott Coker. You see Chris Duncan called him Cooker.
Chris, we love you, mate, but fuck me, Scott Cooker.
shout out to Chris for a great victory in Dublin at the weekend as well. Me and him flying the flag. Hopefully we can get Bellator Glasgow. I think we're the guys to bring it out here. We'll physically drag it all the way over. We've got teammates that want on it as well. So I think that's definitely one for the future. You know, we've got Birmingham and London coming up. Hopefully get me America, maybe Dublin in September, then we can look at Glasgow for maybe the end of the year, next year, whatever.
Well, the thing is as well, if you look at what they've done with, say, Newcastle, they took that card and they filled it with a lot of North East guys, obviously guys for the Dungeon and stuff like that, different gyms on there. They could do a Scotland card and just fill it with gyms in Scotland. Yeah. It doesn't need to be sort of regional. Just there's plenty of talent out here to do it.
Yeah,
and for what I saw down there, obviously, and I asked the question to David Green as well, I think they were interested in it before. They said they'd looked at it. Then after your fight and obviously your media stuff, I think that's helped it a lot as well. And yeah, David Green as much has said that. So hopefully...
He knows I'm here, man. He's... Just get it in the books. Glasgow Hydro. Fuck all this fucking Ed Sheeran pish. I think... After watching the Dublin, you see how much their fans support them, and you get a bit jealous. You're like, I wish we had that in Scotland. I wish your fans, your countrymen, countrywomen as well, like support backed us. But there's a lot of negativity. A lot of people want you to fail in Scotland. We're an island. They just back their own, their thousands, and they're singing and that. It's just a great atmosphere. And I think if Scotland had to do it, I don't know, like, Hydro's big for Bellator, 12,000, but you can shut the tap of that half, curtain it off, maybe get 9,000 in, like, because I think the Dublin one was 9,000 as well, when it can hold more, but I'd be buzzing. I'd take a main event in that Noble, or even a co, like, fight somebody big in America or whatever.
If they build it right and sign the right guys, because there's plenty of ticket sellers in Scotland, and obviously if you're bringing some big names across, because they've done that with their cards down in England, they've brought big, obviously Pitbull and Brent Primus, they've brought some big names in to help fill the card out, and everything in Scotland that's happening, obviously, new BBC channel as well, hopefully we'll see them get involved in MMA, and they're kind of doing that with regards to yourself, and your documentary, which, is it, the documentary's wrapped now, isn't it?
No, it's got a few shots to go, but it should be done, it should be aired in April or something.
Aye.
I know they're putting it all together now, but there's just a wee couple of bits and bob to go, but so that's brilliant as well. That BBC, even before my fight there, BBC done a small wee part of me, and all, it was a different frame of documentary.
Aye.
So that was good that they're doing that, they're doing stuff in Northern Ireland as well and stuff, but it can all be a good thing, I suppose, isn't it? And yep, the whole Sky Sports thing as well, Channel 5, fuck, I forgot I was even fighting in national TV as well. Like, it's no like a Sky Sports or a ESPN or BT Sports, like everybody that's got a telly can watch you fight in Channel 5, and I think like the support I got after my fight was unbelievable. Like, I had clubs and pubs, nightclubs showing it, and people having house parties putting crazy money on me. Like, one guy put £300 on me and sent it to me before the fight, like, no pressure, I've got you at 5-1. I'm just like, fuck's sake, that's not what you want to hear, you know what I mean? But that can all be a good thing. National TV, obviously Sky Sports for the American shows and Dublin shows is massive as well. But National TV, Channel 5, man, like, my fucking mom, my papa watched my fight, you know what I mean? So it's, That's amazing.
What was that like after, obviously, with your fight and then your papa's seen it? How was he when you come back up and spoke to him?
When I came home, like, I didn't even party, like, much after my fight. We went to the casino and watched the Anderson Silva fight. I had a few drinks, and then I sat in my hotel room just going through messages until Tomsy picked me up the next day at 11 o'clock, and I was just lying in my bed, didn't sleep, just going through thousands and thousands of messages, just in a mad buzz. And I went straight to my papa's house, and I watched it back with him, and he's like, you can talk me through it and all that. But he watched it with my brother, and he said he was fine. My brother's like, he was not fine. Said my papa was like, nearly been sick a wee bit and pulling halves and all that. I was like, he didn't tell me that. So we came, I watched it again, and just him being able to watch my fight live. He's watched a lot of them on YouTube, but that was the first one he's watched live. Aye. So that was fucking worth it. That was worth it. I loved it. He was jumping about and all that, and like, he's starting to understand a lot of the techniques and the skill involved now. And my papa's hitting 75, you know what I mean? And I had a wee woman stop me last night at my mate Kieran's bit. And she's like, oh, what's your fight? Is this a fight or not? Like, you didn't last long. I sat my wee cup of tea. This woman's like 90, and she's sitting watching MMA. What the fuck, man? So this just proves the audience. So I'll just all through like Channel 5 as well, you know what I mean?
There's a
note. As I say, you had Fort Boyard, and now you've got Chris Bungard.
I forgot about that bit. I totally forgot about that bit. But it just shows you, I mean, when you look at some of the stuff that's on telly as well, no disrespect to BBC Scotland here, but fuck me, you get the National Skimming Championships on, National Stone Skimming Championships. Get that shite off and get MMA on.
Well, actually, like, skimming in water.
I seriously, in Scotland, I was flicking through the other day because I wanted to get a look at the programme, and I saw that, and I thought, right, now if you're putting that on, you're definitely looking for some sport to get on there, so let's get the stone skimming off and get MMA man. On.
Jesus.
You know what I mean? So
who's counting that? 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, right. We've got a new record.
Oh, there he's got 6.
It's like, I wouldn't count that as a skim, that's just a splash.
Aye.
Who's doing that job?
Apparently there's a lot of crowd violence at that as well.
Streakers jumping the water. Skimming their boys after water.
All in it was a good week, a really good weekend. Just on a couple of things that you said.
Fuck Terry Brazier though. God bless Neil Lennon as well. Get that one.
By
in.
The way, let's just get something straight.
God bless
only
you, Neil Lennon.
This show, God blesses Neil Lennon.
Tell me your t-shirt. Ross Cooper's asking how many goals Hearts are going to score tomorrow.
Fuck Hearts.
More than Hearts.
Fuck the Jambos. Happy birthday, Ross. Ross Cooper's fighting Art of Combat actually. Coming up in April.
27th or 27th,
so that'll
April.
Be good to see my big ginger Edinburgh mate back in there killing turkeys off. I've actually fought Art of Combat when I was an amateur and got my arm snapped right off. Right off, so
is that your Kimura?
That arm right here. So good memories coming back to the Alhambra Theatre. Can't wait to go back there.
that'll be a good card. I think they're putting on because I think Thomas Hepburn's fighting in that one as well, and there's a few guys. There's a lot of good shows coming up.
Theatre hall.
When's the last time Ross fought? Was that wasn't Forza? Was it that long ago?
So it was when I knocked out a stinky Brazilian
who invaded the show one week.
I hope you're watching this week, Nathaniel.
I apologise for my coughing, by the way. I've got a chest infection, so I'll just get out of there.
You remember this, Nathaniel? You remember this?
Aye, that's. I'm trying to think. Okay, that was Chris Duncan. Yeah, Nathaniel. One
before,
was a while ago now.
Rude bastard. So Ross is fighting there. We've got Jordan Strong, who's fighting in Wales on Saturday for Cage Wars Academy. Mm-hmm. We have got the following week, we've got, I'm just saying my teammates here, not just everybody. Ryan Campbell, Camille, you've got Jack Roy on top. And then that's the Saturday. Then the Sunday, we've got the Bull, Gary McMillan, in a show in Bathgate, and young Kyle Hanna, who I think is on that same show. So yep.
Jack Ross as well?
Jack Roy.
Jack Roy, sorry, apologies.
So I bumped into Jack Roy today, actually, when I was out walking. He was out walking his baby with his girlfriend. I've not seen him since my fight. I don't know if I should say this in here, but I think he got rejected from the arena at the front door, right, because he was too boozed up. Got his ticket ripped up, Evan. Unlucky Jack, it happens to the besties, but you didn't miss much.
Bad
part of the podcast, Jan. So that's my teammates, and obviously we've got the Bear Jew, P-Dog up in Philadelphia, which I'm going over for, which I'm excited. My first time in America. Let's just hope I get in.
I know. And running up the Rocky Stairs.
Oh, my God. We've got to talk about it. I start fucking going off in one about fucking Rocky having a statue. I got a guy that's no fucking real. Then I go on to say, that's like us having a statue of William Wallace, which I meant to say because I know there's a Wallace monument. But I was just thought. What I meant to say was Mel Gibson. Did you know what I was trying to say? But I fucked it, man. That's that fucking post-fight adrenaline.
I think they can allow you that. Actually, just when you're talking, we've got Jordan tomorrow night for an interview.
Oh, sweet, man. John's a beast, man.
We had Ryan Campbell for an interview, but Ryan flaked on the interview.
What?
Yeah, flaked on it.
What do you mean?
But I messaged him to find out what was happening, and I got nothing back.
Aye? How dare you, Ryan's probably too busy looking at his abs, I can't. Aye.
So, I just thought I'd mention that one here. Know that I'm putting it out publicly.
I'll get him on.
Jordan on the Mora, and he's doing it Wales, isn't he?
Aye, the Cage Wars Academy. Jordan's an animal. I've been training him for years and years. He worked a lot, so he's only had like 3 MMA fights, but he had a lot of Thai fights as well before that. Mm-hmm. But animal, he's always in the gym, always training, always getting better. And I think he's changing his job now to be a trainer and stuff like that, so he can do full time fighting, because he's one of my main training partners. Like, animal, so hard to keep doing. He's a fucking pain in the arse. Can strike like fuck. And his jiu jitsu is getting better and better. So definitely one to keep an eye out. I think this is like a title eliminator. I'm not 100% sure on that one, but aye, like, he's a beast, man. Like, you see what he done on top to your man for the higher level. Mm-hmm. He just took his soul, man. Like,
that was Phil McLeod.
Phil couldn't even stand up. He just outworked him, beat him at his own game, then put him away. And his fight before that, he fought down Ian Freeman's, triangled the guy. Doesn't even go for triangles. And the one before his debut, he just beat the guy with leg kicks, just leg kicked him, and the guy couldn't continue. Like, so he is well rounded, and he's getting better, and he's still young. So, yeah, man, I can't wait to see where the future holds for. I don't even know if he's got a nickname yet, a fight name. I think I need to give him one. Jordan Strong.
That's something you need to put a bit of thought into. Then put the nickname out publicly before he knows something.
I gave Gary the Bull. Like, see, when you spar with that guy, man, he is just like a bull. Try to get your hands around him. He's just thick as fuck. Another one of my main training partners, between him, Gary, Ryan, and Jordan, like, they were my rounds every week. Paul, obviously. But they're my rounds every week, so for the Brazier fight, so I owe them so much thanks for their time and their effort. They helped me with that, because some of the rounds were tough, man, tough. And like, when you're in fight camp, like, you need to train like you're training for the hardest fight of your life. So, and like, they pushed me to the limits, and they were there always for me. And even they were coming at like 10 o'clock at night for me, because that's what time I was sparring at. And they were showing up full mat for me, so I'm looking forward to getting that wee bit back to them.
What sort of effects it having the gym as well, obviously? When you go down there and fighting in a promotion like Bellator and you get a big win, and then Paul's getting wins in the UFC, what sort of effect is that having the younger guys in the gym? Is that, I'm surely that's just going to motivate them and push them on going forward.
It is, like, you get them coming up in your gym, just saying to you, like, you're my inspiration. You get people messaging you saying that, like, you're the reason I started this, and it's brilliant. Like, it's weird hearing somebody saying that. People coming up asking for pictures and stuff signed and all that, but that's what you started at. Like, you want to be in this limelight, and to have people say that is, that's just a bonus. It is weird to hear it say, but it helps you, like, encourages you to do better as well, and push you on. But I like, you'll see a lot of people come and go in the gym, but it is weird, people coming in, and me and Paul doing really good. The gym's getting busier, and just everybody's just enjoying it. I think just the sport in general is just going up level for level. You know what I mean?
Aye, it's definitely growing. It sort of grows at a steady pace, and then it'll take the odd wee jump or that. But it certainly seems to be going the right direction now. And a couple of other things I would want to mention just before we, I want to talk a wee bit about the Dublin card, because obviously we know Chris went on and done well there, but One of the fights we'd spoke about a bit was obviously Peter Quealy and Miles Price.
Yeah.
What did you think in that fight? Obviously, I think a lot of folk might be shocked that Peter didn't get the win. What was your thoughts on it, obviously having sparred with Peter as well?
Yeah, I did think Peter was going to win. And I wouldn't say he underperformed. He wasn't letting his shots go, but I just think I did think Miles won the fight. Just because he had Peter against the cage for longer, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He was going for that single leg and keep Peter against. But Peter was landing great shots, nice wee short elbows that was cutting Miles and that. And then when they were separating, he was trying to land his strikes and Miles was just closing that distance again. So, yeah, I think Peter knows his sale. That's not the best he's performed. But that's the game, man. You can have an off night.
Aye.
You can lose a fight. But it was a close fight. But maybe Miles is maybe a future opponent for me. We're all lightweights here. So I wasn't impressed with Miles, to be fair. He was quite making a boring fight. Just holding Peter against the face. He was trying to take him down, but Peter's hard to take down. I think he got him down in third, but yeah. I thought Miles won the fight 2-1, but it was a really close fight, but I think Peter just had an off night.
Aye. We all have off nights at work. It's just the consequences in the cage are a bit more than the consequences in the office.
Yeah. Peter was right out, did an interview and fair play to him. He was so honest and that, so you need to respect that.
That's something as well, when you lose a fight, how important is it that when you lose a fight that you're honest and you just accept that you lost the fight?
That's what everybody should be like. Just be yourself, just be normal, you lost a fight, you don't need to blame anybody, certain individuals, your man Brazier, there's ways of taking a loss, and there's a fucking way that he done it was the worst ever. You're a fighter, nobody's 100%, I had a hunter's injuries, to the point I couldn't spar, I couldn't train, but you never complain about it, you never use that as an excuse, and then he'd say, don't be scared, Tommy, come on, my man, you obviously took too many fucking hits to the heat in the army. I accepted a fight with him in 2 minutes, the contract got sent over and I accepted it like that, sent it back, then I made weight in his own country, then I made the walk, then I whooped him, and it was a domination, it wasn't even close, it was I threw him about like a wee bitch. And then he comes out with stuff, don't be scared, come on, I just choked you in front of the world, you know what I mean? So that annoyed me a wee bit, because it started, I tweeted him, giving him props, thanks for the fight. I know you're, whatever I said about the loss, and then he comes back with that bullshit, so I was just this guy's getting at all angles, and then everybody just gave him it tight for about 2 weeks, so... There's so easy deal me a loss. Peter Quealy done it the right way. He came, the media scrum, spoke away, gave Miles props, respect, and then you've got somebody like fucking Terence, the fucking scudbook Brazier, coming out with bullshit like that. So he's asking for a rematch. He's no chance of getting a rematch. He needs to go and fight somebody else, maybe Benson Henderson or Norman Park. Norman Park actually caught me as well.
It's not Norman Park.
That was fun.
Aye. He's now signed with ACA.
He caught me out. It was right after it, Norman Park. A wee JK bastard.
What did he say? I never knew. Is it KSW? Sorry, aye.
He just says...
Bare knuckle boxing to you?
He just says that I'm sure Chris Bunga would like to fight the number one lightweight in the UK or whatever. I think he was drinking. I think he was drunk, man. Because he wasn't making sense, and he deleted posts, and he didn't, and it was just weird, man. Then he was just writing stuff about doing seminars and all that. I think he maybe needed money, but now he's got an R fight, so hopefully he killed my buzz, actually, Norman. You cunt. So hopefully, he's got an R fight. I think it's quite a good one in Poland or whatever, KSW. So, that was weird, but that's what it is.
And for you as well, with regards to assuming obviously you're going to get called out a bit more now because you've obviously went down to Newcastle and you've picked up a bit of notoriety as well along with the win. Right now, are you just thinking about Paul's fight and your team's fight and no not so much about yourself at the minute, or are you open to offers?
I don't know, there's this Birmingham card, but I don't like Birmingham, and there's this London card, and I don't like fucking London, but I'd rather fight in London than Birmingham. So if the fight's right, then I would fight in London. I want to fight in America. I think I've got to do a show in Sweden or Barcelona, and then back in Dublin in September. So I want another two fights before the year's out, but yeah, like, I'm not even really back into the gym now. I've done a couple of sessions, so I'm actually being a bit lazy now. But aye, Paul's next. Will Jordan, then go with Paul. I think I'm going out a bit early with him. And then just focus on them. Well, just like they focused on me, so I have. It's good to. Like, Reese McKean, they're sending me pictures of like their diet food and they're fighting this weekend. I'm just like, just so happy that it's not me, you know what I mean? I'm just like reaching for the cheesecake, like, aye, on yourself, Reese, like, fucking enjoy that bland chicken and egg or whatever the fuck it was. So,
Connor Robertson's asking, did you have your celebration cheesecake?
I did. My main man, Craig Campbell, who owns Dirty Desserts, says if I win, he'll make me a cheesecake. So I just thought it was a slice. So I go into his shop and it just balls out this big cheesecake, full one. It was called a Milky Way mashup. So you had your crispy rolls, your Milky Way stars, and your actual Milky Ways at the top. And like, this was this size, man. So a wee slice before bed, a wee slice in the morning, after dinner, whatever. 2 days later, it was gone, man. The full fucking cheesecake was gone. I said, that's terrible. So,
like, your heavyweight
would end
of that cheesecake.
Aye, I'm up 84 kilo, I was a day. 84 kilo, man. I thought it was 70 the other week. Two and a half stone or something.
Let me give you something to try while we're talking about cheesecake. So, cheesecake, any type of your choice, but rather than set putting it in a plate, you set the cheesecake inside an Easter egg.
Oh, aye.
So you just take an Easter egg.
Great British Bake Off here, James.
Mind, I used to be a chef.
So what do you mean, like an Easter egg, like,
so
chocolate?
See, a full Easter egg, you take a hot knife and cut the Easter egg in half, then you've got the two halves of the Easter egg, then you put your biscuit base in the bottom.
Oh, you make it inside it? Oh, right. That's what I'm talking about.
And then you go, and the only way you eat it is with horn.
Right, so if he's ever, whoever's got to make me that cheesecake, just get in touch, right?
James will make it for you.
I'll make one for the next podcast, because I'm good like that.
I've eaten these.
Jaffa cakes the other night.
Right.
We're not having a contest. We're just eating them.
I hate these things. Just to clarify,
have a Jaffa
cake.
Just have a Jaffa cake, James.
I'm not going to eat a Jaffa cake. No. Chris Dutton, somewhere.
We're missing you, Chris. Full moon.
So we're waiting for. So do you reckon? Half
moon. <You're really close>.
So do you reckon you could do 14 of them in a minute?
Oh fuck, I'll be one.
We'll wait for Chris to come on and then do
the sake, that one was a struggle. Never mind 14. I take back what I said.
That's 85 kilos now, chaps. What have we got in coming in, Frankie?
Aye, Stuart Downey's asking, saying, Bungie, you're good to watch fight, Patter's alright, but who's your dream fight from all MMA, past or present?
I don't know. Who would my dream fight be? I always said I'd like to fight Jim Miller. I think that would be cool, or a lot of BJ Penn. Because I used to love watching BJ Penn. He was dead exciting. But now, every time I watch him, I want to greet.
Well,
I don't know. Jim Miller. I like Jim Miller. It's exciting. I think it would be an exciting fight.
What about let me just go off on a wee tangent here. I'm going to think of a couple of names. What about like Nate Diaz or something like that? Just for the
aye,
back and forth.
Of course, man. I'd fight them all. I'd fight anybody. But Nate Diaz, that would be cool. Big long bastard, though.
Let me just quickly on top of that question. Let's ask you something then about the main event at Bellator Newcastle. So you watched Scope and Pitbull. When you looked at Pitbull and you watched his fight, what was your thoughts on that and your impressions?
Juice head.
And how you matched up with him?
I put a pin in him, man, he just float away. He's a good fighter, he's got power and good wrestling, good, I think he's a black belt on the deck and all, so it's a tough fight. I look at all these fights, but they're all tough, you know what I mean? So hopefully I get a few easy ones and I can make a lot of money and retire on a boat with my bitches.
What about the other winner?
Joke!
What about the other winner, the lightweight winner on the card then, who was on after you? who beat Mr. Chalmers, Corey.
Corey Browning.
Right, give me, before we go any further, let's give me your impressions of Corey backstage and what you thought.
He's a good guy, man. He's a lovely guy. He's not a fighter. He's a snowboarder. We cut weight together and all that. But the fight was so bad, it was entertaining. See, at one point they were swinging. We were in the back like, like me, Andy Fisher, and my coaches, Brian and Paul, now were like, it was like bum fights. It was like, remember bum fights?
Aye.
Backyard bum fights. Like, that's what it was like. So, but hey, if they wanted to match me with Corey Brown in America, I see the money, I would take that fight. Or even Birmingham or London.
My impressions, he was so laid back. And all he spoke about was doing his snowboarding licence. Because he was talking about how he was double booked. I'm like, dude, you're fighting in Bellator Newcastle in the main card.
See, when we were going for the public weigh-ins, we would all take you up, like our order of your fights. And they're all on the other side, so shouting up. And I'm standing beside Corey, and Corey's just standing like, this sucks, man. And me and Scope just like, what? So, this sucks, man, I don't even want to do this. He's just standing, we all his clothes on up. That's a weigh-in, my man. That's what you do.
When we were in today, we were obviously done for the media day on the Thursday. So we walked in, obviously, yourself and Carly and all, were looking pretty sharp, you had your suits on. But everybody was sort of dressed for the occasion. But Corey was just chilling with a brown fleece on.
The guy doesn't look like a fighter. No. I mean, he isn't a fighter when you watch him fight.
Aye,
but he won with a heel hook, know what he says? Did you see his grounding pound? Oh my God, like my boxing coach, Lawrence Murphy, says, like a Wayne's throwing a snowball. That's what he described my punches like. You know what I mean? Like a Wayne throwing a snowball. Cheers, Lawrence. But he's like, remember Chalmers dropped him? And then he went to do a walk-off. Well, basically, Corey's like, oh, I was just joking, man. He wasn't really hurt, he was just joking. Then we talked about the heel hook. He says, oh, I didn't put it on that bad. I didn't want to hurt him. I was like, this guy's at it. You're fucking at it, my man. So one, he was kidding on when he got dropped. And two, he didn't put the heel hook on because he didn't want to hurt him.
He's an unintentionally funny guy.
Aye.
He really is.
He's a...
It was. I quite enjoyed his post.
He actually stays in Calgary, Canada, where home of Bret Hart. So that's what I kept saying to him. Oh, the hitman, but he's American, but he stays in Calgary.
Aye.
Go figure.
He's beat Baby Slice, and he's doing no bad.
Oh, he doesn't want to fight me, man.
Well, that's the thing you've got to look at for him. He's obviously beat Arn, and he's beat Baby Slice, so. Sort of next in the lightweights, if they're not bringing somebody in to try and build them, which you wouldn't think there is, it's new, probably he's going to have some problems.
If he fights me, he's got to have a problem. I think I would run through him quicker than I ran through Terence.
I don't think he would take that fight.
I don't think he gets a choice, man. He's been brought in to take a whooping twice, I think, with Baby Slice and Arm. I think he's been brought in to get beat, and he's beaten him. So he's killing all these hype trains. So he maybe get through against me. I don't know.
Who knows?
I'll take it at Bees and Money.
Well, if they've done it in America, even better. Wee trip, sightseeing, fight Corey.
Isn't like Newcastle, that would be a sightseeing.
But overall, down there, go back to Newcastle, but I enjoyed my few days out there. My big mate, Naughty, who came down with me. Ideal for coming down, thanks mate, keep me company. He enjoyed himself. He was he was smashing through the line something fierce. You're alright mate. So he won some money as well.
I seen that.
We went in the bookies and he's like, just put something on. So he put some cash on and he got a wee win, so that was happy days for him as well. You made him some cash.
Everybody made cash. Just gave me a bit of mod.
I probably should have bet, but I thought, you know what, I'm not going to bet. I
didn't want anybody to bet on me. Because then you come back, what's all that money? So see the next fight now, they've got to put someone else on now, you know what I mean?
So just mere pressure. Yeah. You get messages saying I've got £100 on you.
I shouldn't have my phone really, but I was sitting in the changing room and it was just constant, like, I've bet you, I'm just like, just got to put that down.
Surely that can't be a smart thing to do.
Nah.
maybe Brian should take the phone off you.
I know.
And just let you focus on what's in front.
It was good because they had the my documentary crew were all there, even for all the weight cut in my bath. Like, so we woke up, we went down to this wee gym, which Hoist Gracie's just sitting training away. And Hoist Gracie's got to be in my documentary, by the way, which is fucking super cool. And we use these wee scales, and we try and put the weight on them, and they come on just under the 8 kilo dumbbell, but it comes 7.9, so I stand on them. As soon as I woke up, doing it at 5 a.m, and it says I've got 2 kilo to go. So, happy days. Oh, in fact, it was under that. And really, when we end up weighing ourselves a couple hours later on the real scales, just to check them, I was still 2 kilo. So the scales are wrong. So my mind was fucked. So we end up another 3 salt baths and the sauna up and down. So this was all filmed and that. So you'll get a good insight. I was fucked. Just because we used the wrong scales just to try my...
So that just the wrong scales have fucked you up?
Mentally, they fucked me mentally because I thought I was close, and then really I was so far away. And so they filmed all that, and they filmed behind the scenes, walking to the cage for backstage, which will be all cool footage to see. And obviously after it, not so. I can't wait to see this. They've got me like filming in Dublin, jumping the Irish Sea. They've got me swimming underwater with GoPros and using drones, running and all this shit. I've got everything, man. It's got to be cool, man.
And I saw something as well. I saw you doing a wee huddle with a documentary crew.
Because obviously they've followed me everywhere, and like, I just came. I brought them in. Yeah. Like, it was a good wee moment.
I would say as well. I spoke to the guys filming, or guys and girls filming the documentary, and I could see obviously when you won, they were ecstatic. They were really pumped up. They were ecstatic. As well.
They started the first documentary was for the Nathaniel fight in Forza, the Brazilian. That was like the wee mini documentary they done for their university, Stirling University. So they all got jobs through the BBC. Through that documentary, the BBC seen that, then like, can you do one for the BBC? So we've been filming for months, so it's got to be aired in April in the new BBC Scotland channel that aired Sunday.
How surreal is that got to be when that documentary, when you know there's a documentary going out about you on the BBC channel?
It's got to be cool. The picture they've used for the actual cover of the BBC is just me and Tappy the Cage. Like, they've got a photo of me under me, and I'm just kind of looking, and I look so fucking angry. So that's got to be like the cover. Ooh. So if you're in the BBC iPlayer, that'll be like the picture you need to click on, basically, you know what I mean? For a replay. So it should be good. I'm looking forward to it being all edited together with the training in Dublin, training in the hit squad, like my papa, the fight, the weight cut. They've got me a bit feel like we grew up in Holytown, so stuff like that, like all pieced together. I've got music. They've actually got the rights to Bad Moon Rising for John Fogerty, which is like for Creedence Clearwater. So that was cool. They've got like Twin Atlantic. We've got some Jerry Cinnamon. So they've got some good tunes on it, but so it should be good.
Got to say as well, by the way, the Bad Moon Rising. It's a song I like anyway, but. Hearing it in that arena,
I think it gets everybody dancing. Then
it's a good. Jake, if I get your second name wrong, Jake Smith. He does work for Made for the Cage, and that he messaged me about your.
I've it on him.
And he was saying how good a song it was for what it was. Sounds brilliant in the arena as well. It's a good tune to walk out to.
As my amateur career, I had like 13 amateur fights. I changed my song every fight, and then since I went pro, I've had 18 pro fights. It's always been Bad Moon Rising for all 18, so I don't think I'll ever change it. Unless I go to Ireland, I'll start with a rebel song and then it'll kick into Bad Moon Rising.
You want to cover that one, James?
No, I'm as soon as the word rebel's mentioned, I'm out. I'm out quicker than Brendan Rodgers.
He was only here for 7.5 in a row.
I know. Did you know what? Let's talk about that for a minute. Let's talk about that. So I heard it this morning on the radio, and I'll be honest with you, I was happy.
One of these terrorised Jews, man.
I'm glad to see the back of him. I'm fucking glad to see the back of him. But I was shocked as well that, one, leaving mid-season when you're potentially on for a treble, which praying to God doesn't happen. But it was also, I get money-wise, Leicester are bigger money-wise, but club-wise, there's no way a mid-level EPL club are bigger than Celtic or Rangers. I just don't, I don't get the move from that point of view. And for the, what I heard at the phone in, there seemed like a lot of anger for the Celtic fans as well.
It's just a weird one. It's just the timing. I think that's the main thing. See if he stayed to the end of the season and seen it out, everybody would wish him well.
Aye.
But we've got playing Hearts of Mora, we've got Hibs at the weekend in the Cup, two biggest games of the season, and he's off. He just left. So as soon as I put a post up, thank them, because the memories he's made the last couple of seasons alone is to be thankful.
Aye.
But the amount of hate I got on my pages is unbelievable. Like, people calling him a rat or snake. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, Celtic are a hard bunch to please at the best of times, but I do get why they're angry, the timing of that, but you still need to thank him. Obviously, Lennon's come in, hopefully Lennon can just see it out. Basically, right. There's like 10, 12 games to go. Like, he only needs to win like 9, I think. Just see that out and hopefully win the cup. Oh, I know you're a Rangers man, but... And then... it was just a weird timing in Leicester. Like, they can't win against Europe or they can't get relegated, so it's like a weird one. But I think they're just wanting him in to get the ball rolling for the start of next season. I think, I don't know.
But for me, what I think potentially what Hartman's going to do to Leicester is he's obviously going to get himself into one of the top jobs in England, and I think that's going to be made difficult going to Leicester. Because say what you want about what they've done winning the league and that, but that's gone. They won't do that again,
man.
And they've only went backwards since. So I just think it's a bad career move. He should have, because you would have thought potentially like at Arsenal or the situation at Chelsea. They know by the end of the season there could be jobs there. Don't get me wrong, I'm super happy.
The bad thing is he'll probably take fucking half the Celtic players with him. Well, so hopefully KT, McGregor. That don't end up going, man.
You know the bids are going to come in, and it's going to be some serious cash that comes in for them. But the one thing I did hear for listening to the football phone-in was one fan had mentioned Moussa Dembele and stuff. Brendan had come out and says about him.
Dembele had tweeted today.
He
wrote interesting, and then he done like see the meme or the gif of Dexter like pure blinking. He's shocked and that, so.
If you don't know, now you know as well. Hashtag if you don't know, now you know. Meanwhile,
Stephen Gerrard sitting in the house eating watches. It's like,
still got eight points clear though, so basically, to be fair, hopefully we can't fuck it.
To be fair, it's only for Celtic to fuck away at this point. Really, really
it's still got two Old Firm games. I mean, that's a possible 6 points, and you know, I mean, it's still a lot to play for. It's a big game tomorrow night, and a way to Hearts, he'll be right off for it. Neil Lennon's just come in, like, they hate him too.
Aye.
Celtic need a performance tomorrow, and it was just weird. It was so quick, like, boom. Next thing you know, he's got the fucking Leicester City tie on, he's doing a press conference. Like, what just happened to you, Brendan, my man?
I just heard it.
But I wish him all the best. But like, the show always goes on, no matter who it is. Not mean.
Aye, well, that's the other thing as well, is he had a chance to beat, because I know he equaled Walter Smith's record by 7 consecutive trophies.
Aye.
But he had a chance to beat that as well, and
it was too easy for a minute up here, but
all about the money.
That's what it is. Any questions coming in?
James Green's asking, what do you think of the Taylor and Fleury fight and the Duncan and Slater fight?
I'm going to let Chris take this one later on to the toilet.
Oh. So, where do we start? Oh, just put myself up there. Where do we start in the old fucking the line of Tipperary, Will Fleury against Sean, the baby eater, Taylor? Like, I told you, Will was going to kill him. Will is an absolute animal. I've trained with him. And Sean's not even a professional. You know what I mean? Like, your Bellator debut, I know it was his contract. He's not got a contract. It was a one-off thing. But if he wins that, he gets a contract, probably. And he's showing up £5 heavier. Fucking disgrace. He used to be a welterweight, and he can't even make middleweight now. One round in him, he was gassed, he couldn't stand. I knew Will was going to do it with him, so I was happy for Will. I mean, fuck Sean. As for Chris, I didn't see Chris's fight, I wasn't in the Bellator app, so, but I kind of know what happened. Finished him with strikes, kind of standing. I think we were trading for a bit. Caught me an uppercut, I think. So, brilliant for Chris, you know what I mean? I like Sam as well. Sam's a great guy, one of the nicest guys I've met on Dublin. I've trained with Chris a lot, so buzzing for Chris. Chris is Scottish as well, it's good for us. But fuck Sean Taylor, up the will, good for Chris.
Wash your hands, James.
Yeah, no, I didn't wash my hands. No, they're nice and clean, it's all right. Why would I don't get, right, on you go.
Yeah, because you're awfully quick.
Right. I've heard that before.
Was it 2 minutes and 6 seconds quick, Terry Brazier?
Christopher Andrews saying, did you see the official that had his hands on Gallagher's old deer at the end of
the
fight?
I did see that. Oh, Jimmy boy.
Just right, elaborate so, here, because I've never seen that.
James Gallagher's more running and gave him a big cuddle, and you get this fucking security guy like trying to grab his mom. James is like, don't touch my fucking mother. Don't touch my mother. And the guy just shits himself, man. Like, but why is it? I mean, why would you? Obviously, there's no loud people running in that, but I don't touch a man's mom, you know what I mean? Well done to James Gallagher and all. I knew that was going to happen. Like, Stephen Graham wasn't up too much. I knew James was going to run through him. But to see that full arena packed and that, it's like, that's what you want, isn't it? That's what you're looking for. I'd love that in the Hydro.
That's got to be what you're aspiring for.
Yeah, aye.
That's got to be what you're aspiring for. It looked a great night in Dublin as well.
I feel saying we should do a social media campaign to get the Bellator to the Hydro.
It's coming. I'll drag it back there single-handedly if I need to.
And I can promise you, behind the scenes, I was done roasting people's nuts about it when I was down there.
What?
I was roasting the nuts.
Oh, Frankie, stop making gay jokes, mate. By the way, you can't see Frankie on camera, but he's got a pink bikini on.
That's for after.
Mankini. Any other questions?
Right, just try to find the questions. Now keep just fire your questions in, guys, when you're watching. Also, another thing as well, with regards to guests on the show, for people that are watching the show and that enjoy it, send us messages to our Twitter page, our Facebook pages, whatever, and let us know who you would like to see on the show as well, because we want to keep getting different guests on, obviously. This is a fight-orientated show of the night, but as MDRIT's watched the previous shows, it's not always fight-orientated, and the next show won't be either. So let us know who you would like on.
We're going to have D Max on. You're probably watching, D. We will get you on. I know you keep messaging us. D's a female stand-up comedian. She's basically begging to be on, so we'll definitely get you on. Get some of the patter going. She's really funny and she's smashing it now. So she's a future guest anyway. We'll have Paul Craig on as well.
James English, as we've spoke to him.
James
is killing the game now. He's doing fantastic with his podcast. He's got some really good guests. Doing absolutely brilliant. So hopefully we'll have James on at some point.
Got to have some people in for like Chrissy's house as well, right, down the line. Andy McLaren, who's like a former football player with Kilmarnock and stuff like that. He's working a lot with Chrissy's house, so him and like Liam were going to come in, give us a wee insight to stuff that they do and stuff like that. So they're on in the future, so if there's any guests you would like, and don't just write Kieran Tierney, Conor McGregor, Jerry Cinnamon, think outside the box as well. Doesn't need to be like in our field, it could be anybody, singers, anything.
Aye, let us know and we'll try and make it happen.
Talking to Conor McGregor, Billy Gormley's saying, what's Conor McGregor been saying to you?
What's he been saying to me? Fuck. Not been saying much. He sent me a message after my fight, just saying congratulations, mate, and stuff like that, which was pretty cool because he's obviously in America there now. So, aye, that was cool. I got a few messages after Celtic players. That shot my fucking social media up, definitely. So, that was cool. I'm one of the best in the world, just congratulating you after a big win.
And your social media fucking doubled.
Aye, I don't know if it's through Channel 5 or the Celtic players, but my Instagram and Twitter fucking shot right up. Madness, man.
So. Have you had any guys try to slide in your DMs yet?
It took me ages I didn't even notice, but like Scott Brown had started liking all my pictures, and like I clicked on his name and he was following me, right? And I was like, fuck, I better follow Scott Brown back, El Capitan. So I didn't realise because there were so many, so that was cool.
Wee things like that, but it's quite cool, obviously, for a Celtic fan anyway, it's cool.
Definitely, I just hope they all stay together now, because I only know the guys in this team, that mean.
Aye.
They'll start moving away, I've got nobody.
They're all going to Leicester.
I don't know. Probably.
Christopher Andrews saying, what about Gradle?
Grado tweeted me as well, because I walked out the fucking wrong side of the cage, you bastard. I'll get you back in ICW, Grado, me and you.
I think you meant as a guest, I know.
Oh, as a guest? I'm fucking gone of it.
You'll know that I come on in case you've got an attack.
Aye, Grado will be a good laugh. Aye, we'll get other wrestlers on as well, obviously with Davey Blaze on, but there's a lot of other ones that are wanting on as well, so hopefully when my pro wrestling career kicks off, we'll get some badass cunts on.
And I think now as well, whatever I'm set Christmas, all that stuff, so we can start, we'll get regular stuff to you guys, we'll sort that out, and the podcast will be coming out, he's hard and fast.
And the last one, Rab Truesdale said, put the biscuits down, but you've already finished the
Big Rab Truesdale? Fucking hell, no, I heard him in a while.
He said you wind up with him.
Fucking Big Rab, Big Baloo.
So what many biscuits did you do there? That's
a full packet.
It's a triple pack, but you done one for one.
That's a warm up suit. That was 10 then.
That was just me stretching off, man. Make some space.
we'll do the challenge when we get Chris Duncan back.
And that was that one when I ate the first one. That was hard, man. So
there's no way. No, if it's 14's a world record.
It's 17.
17's a world record. It's under a minute. We need water.
Under a minute, that'd be tough, man.
Fucking no chance. I don't want Chris Duncan.
Probably spoke because we still had to fight and we were obviously hungry at the time. That's easy, but
everybody says they can do it, but
aye.
As soon as you eat one, they're dry.
Aye. Well, there you go. That was we.
That's the questions. Aye, it's been
it's been good to get back. It feels like it has felt like a while since we've done it, and we'll be back again. We'll obviously talk after this, and we'll sort out when we're going to be coming with the shows at East.
We've got hundreds of shows coming up as well, so we can speak about them as well. The big one, the Jones and Smith, man, that's a crazy card.
That's this weekend. Let's quickly while we're on talk a wee bit about that, because you've got Jones. Try to run through it. You've got Cody Garbrandt, Pedro Munoz. You've got Usman, Woodley, Ben Askren.
Ben is finally making his debut.
Ben Askren is fucking brilliant. He is.
Marty.
He's
so laid back though, isn't he? He's funny. He's just chilled out, laid back, and just ripping everybody to shreds. It's brilliant.
Press conference, you see him, he's
flip-flops. I love how the UFC are still no gain on my profile, and he's just all blacked out. No, that's fun.
Social media was giving him an outline. Here.
what do you think about that fight against Robbie?
I think he wins it. I think he's just obviously Robbie's brilliant everywhere as well. Plus Robbie's a really good wrestler too, but I think he's just on a different level. Hopefully, because you've seen him against all these other guys, but hopefully, like, he performs at this level, so people don't see. He's not as good because he wasn't fighting. So I think he beats Robbie Lawler pretty dominantly.
I think.
I like to see him get tagged though. See how he handles that.
You've got to assume though, in sparring, he's getting clipped out. He's getting cracked off Woodley, and I reckon Woodley probably the hardest hitting welterweight.
Aye.
So he's in there with the right guy, and Woodley's a great wrestler himself. I love Robbie Lawler. Don't get me wrong, but I think it's a difficult matchup for Askren just because you've got Lawler brings to the table. But I think Ben gets it done. And then you've got Woodley and Usman. What do you reckon of that, do you think?
I think Woodley's just more well-rounded and probably just as good as a wrestler. I don't think he'll finish him, though. It could be a boring fight.
I look at them as fairly similar fighters. I just think Woodley's a bit better in every sort of area.
Yeah, he's better everywhere, I think, definitely.
And obviously the main event.
I think Smith's got to beat Jones a day, honestly.
It's kind of one of the ones you're always expecting it to happen, but you just sometimes don't know what you're getting with Jones.
Smith's just got to commit him. A lot of guys haven't really commit Jones. They've been a wee bit tentative, but I think Smith's got to try and run through him, and I think he's got to put Jones in some awkward positions.
Would you say as well, all the guys Jones has fought, Smith's been written off more than anybody?
Aye, I would say so. He's not got a perfect record, that's why his record's like, he's not the best, but he's killing cunts. He's absolutely killing them. I think there could be a shock here.
See, it's where it sort of differs with boxing is sometimes guys don't have perfect records, but then you look at the records and go, right, I can see why he got beat with that one, I can see why he lost there. But sometimes with fighters as well, you can maybe, your record can be a bit ropey for a while, but something just clicks. Mm-hmm. But whether it be in the gym or you just find your groove, and I don't know, I don't think Smith beats him personally. Nah. I think Jones is just that good. But
how has Jones got to beat him then?
I just think Jones beats him the way he...
Think he'll finish him?
Aye,
I don't know.
I think it's the later rounds he finishes him. The thing with Jones as well is he's so unpredictable. That's where you can't really predict where he finishes guys, but he's just...
I like that he's straight back in. I like he's staying active now. So hopefully it's merely that for Jones, because the fans, like, I don't like him, but the fans like him. Everybody likes to watch him fight.
As a person, I wouldn't invite him there for dinner, know what I mean?
He's a good night you'd have, but...
What?
You'd have a good night.
Especially if he brings the stuff from America.
the good stuff.
I don't think he's a great advocate for the sport or that, but fight-wise, he's kind of perfect, isn't he, in terms of, obviously, that Matt Hamill one. But we've seen him look bad in the past against OSP. That's a really good card. I'm going to be honest, but the fight I'm like to see, the Askin fight. That's the one I like to see.
Same.
For me, that's the fight I'm excited about. And I know a lot of folk will probably say, he's boring to watching that, but what he does so well. He fucking... He's dominant. His wrestling's off the chart. It's got to be an exciting card. It's on. Is it Sunday? It's on.
Or is it on Sunday morning, Saturday night?
Right. See, I thought it was maybe Sunday in America, but there we go. That's anyway, crazy, huh? So I think we'll wrap on that one.
Episode 5
in the bag, and like we say, guys. Obviously, this will come out audio version on iTunes as well. So. Liking, subscribe to that, download it, listen to it, and obviously on our social media pages, give us a follow, like, share, and let us know who you want on. But aye. Well, that's us.
Peace out.